Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, and of course, a big welcome to you wherever you are in the world. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and this is another episode of From Stress to Authentic Success. And today I have Niraj Naik with me. And I have to say, it's going to be a little bit of a short intro because I know that Niraj and I have a lot to talk about. He has such a beautiful story. I am sure that you are going to really enjoy this conversation because Niraj is a professional musician and a pharmacist who turned holistic health and breathwork into his expertise. He started this path in healing others as a community pharmacist, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that story because after several years, he found himself a patient himself with stress-related depression and ulcerative colitis. So a lot to talk about today, and he has an amazing story. This whole disease thing, this whole stress-related breakdown was a wake-up call for him that made him embark on a journey of profound self-healing and, of course, education. Like most of us do, when you have that kind of breakdown and that kind of crossroad, it's up to you what you choose for health or for suffering. Niraj himself created a global community of heart-centered change makers by founding Soma Breath. And I'm sure we're going to talk about his app called Soma Breath App. It's a global breathwork and wellness movement. And I believe that over 3,500 and more certified instructors are part of it. Hundreds of thousands of students around the globe have been using his techniques. If you don't know Niraj Naik yet, I suggest you listen into this conversation. And you know by now that breathwork for me is also a very important strategy, a very important thing in my life. I have talked to so many people who have made breathwork their specialty. Remember, we had Alexis Alcala that I actually even gave an award this year, and he actually won the award. You know that I am very careful with who I invite, but inviting Niraj Naik was a logical thing for me when I met him on a plane going from Madrid to Miami earlier this year. And so for me, he was such a gentle soul, a gentle energy that I knew at that moment that it would be worthwhile to meet him for you. He's very, very wanted. I know he has done music for Wim Hof, for Rituals, for Mind Valley. He has one of these amazing combinations, a unique experience of music, breathwork, and meditation. He has worked with some amazing top names such as Ben Greenfield, Marissa Peer, Vishen Lakhiani, so many people. The Soma Breath Awakening Protocol is the only breathwork modality backed by Cambridge University with its largest to date breathwork study. So let's maybe grab a cup of tea, a glass of water, whatever you want, and stay with me for this amazing conversation with the one and only Niraj Naik. Talk to you just now.
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to every single one of you. And as mentioned in the intro, this is quite a special conversation for me because Niraj and I just met a few weeks ago. And so it is always interesting when you've had already a connection, Niraj, to follow up on that and make this conversation as authentic as possible, of course. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Yeah, we had a bit of a synchronicity, didn't we? Sat next to each other on a plane all the way to the amazing event we went to in Miami and had so many things in common. It was
Yeah, the universe does special things. And maybe we can talk a little bit about it in the show, in this interview, in this conversation, because anyone listening, how amazing is it that out of so many people, Niraj and I said we got seated next to each other on a flight of about, 9 hours? And you were the most, I have to say it out loud, Niraj, you were such a gentleman. Is that who you are? Because you, of all people, on the other side of me, I had another gentleman, a businessman. He didn't move the whole way. And I did a few times. I tried to make a little bit of a conversation. But with you, when I said that in the middle, I'm never sitting in the middle in a plane. And so when you said to me, if you want to change, we can. And you were so sweet to say, look, tell me when I have to get up and I'll get up. And I was so impressed. So tell me a little bit about Niraj. Is Niraj a gentleman?
My mum raised me really well, it seems. Yeah. And my wife would be very pleased by that compliment you just gave me.
I think you are that nature. You have that. You can see it in your eyes. You can see it in your expression. And that's also probably why you're doing what you're doing. But tell me a little bit first, the personal story behind the little boy Niraj and how you come to be today who you are.
Look, to be totally honest, I was born in England. I had a brother, I didn't have a sister. My mum was the closest kind of female in my life for most of my youth. And I went to an all boys school, right? Didn't have a girlfriend till I was like proper one, till I was like 18 or something, right? I wasn't around much female energy. That's a lie, because actually when I was very little, my two best friends, this was when I was like 4 or 5 years old, were two girls who lived next door to
Oh,
me.
interesting.
My best friends were these two sisters. But other than that, like in my teens and my youth, I didn't have much female interaction. I wasn't a gentleman, to be honest.
Oh,
Like
interesting.
I wasn't. That came later, I think, from having very good partners, relationship, women who are very strong, who taught me the way. And actually, my wife is Russian, and in Russian culture, the men should be men and they should be gentlemen. And like opening doors, being kind and considerate and all that is a given thing. That's how you should be.
We have forgotten those norms in our society, haven't we?
Yes, the yeah. Yeah, that's right. Chivalry. So
That's why for me it was such a, I'm not saying a shock, it was such an opening, like a different energy when you were being so kind. Kindness and compassion and respect is just a
yeah.
little bit gone.
But also being kind is something is that's big broader than just being chivalrous.
I
So
agree.
just being, I think that's my kindness. Like I got a lot of that from my mum, who's very kind, very generous, very social person. My dad as well. They're very giving people. They always did more for others than for themselves and so on.
Wow.
So I was always around that, and that's been my nature from young
Yeah.
ages, is
You,
that
they lived by
compassion.
example, and that's why
Yeah.
you probably have that. Yeah, I agree. And when you look at the title of our show, From Stress to Authentic Success, what would you say was then your biggest stress in your earlier life?
I think the biggest, there was many of them, right? So I was the smallest kid in my class. I was brown. Everyone else was white. I went to a very white school, it was a private school. It's not private, it's a public school, but it was one of the top grammar schools in the UK. So I went to that. I got bullied for it.
Did you?
Oh yeah. I got bullied heavily. So also I was born in, I grew up mostly in Bedfordshire, so near Luton, in a small kind of town called Flitwick, until I was about like 6 years old. And in those days, like we're talking like over 4 years ago, it was racist in the UK. It's not racist now. Like this whole idea that England's racist now, that's been stirred up a lot by the media. It's not true. It's nothing compared to how it used to be 40 years ago, right? So it's way more integrated now, and I don't experience any racism in the UK at all. I don't feel like I feel any of it. So back then was a different story. So I'd be called Paki all the time, and people make fun of me, and then they'd pick on you. So I grew up with that, but that actually made me tougher,
Tougher.
made me stronger. And then what happened was the biggest kid in the class who came, he moved from up north to our class. He happened to this huge, like giant of a Pakistani boy, right? He was massive. So after that point, no one picked on any brown people. When he came
Wow.
to the school, that changed the game, right?
Wow.
No one picked on any brown people after that because he would just beat him up.
He
So
changed the rules, eh?
he changed the rules of the game. Yeah. And then I got in with like all these cool Indian kids, and my unique thing was music. I had a big passion for
Yes.
music. So when I would play rugby was compulsory. It was a quite violent sport. And being the small Indian kid, the rugby ball landed in my arms. That is it. That's game over for me. Like for the rest of the week, I'd be beaten up. Let everyone would pile on me. Like you'd be like limping for the rest of
I can
the
imagine.
day or the week even. Like some days it was so bad. I did whatever I could to bunk off rugby. So I'd get like letters. I'd fake them sometimes that Nero just got asthma and so he can't do it. And I'd try and wangle my way out of it. And what they'd always do, because I had to do something, they'd always send me to the music room. For some reason, all the kids who didn't do rugby, they would send to the music room. And I love music. So my dad had given me a keyboard, but he gave me a keyboard that had a unique thing about it. It was a synthesizer where you could actually make your own sounds. It was a very early version of what we do now with all the making different amazing sounds and sound design. It was a very early rendition of that. So I started to experiment with this because he didn't give me any instruction. He didn't give me any piano lessons, nothing. I had to figure it all out myself. So I started to get into, all my friends at the time were listening to this kind of underground dance music,
Wow.
rave music. So I started to get into that, and I used to listen to all the music and try and compose it myself. And then that one thing led to another, and I started to put keyboards together and make my own like kind of dance music jams and have people singing. It was cool. So
What
that
age
got me
were
in
you
with all
then?
the
Just to
cool
have an
kids.
idea, Niraj, what age are we talking
This was
about?
like 14 to
Yeah,
about
the teenager, yeah.
17. You know, that it never ended after that. That was it. That was my path, right? I was going to be a producer, music producer. So I went really into that, and it helped me become the cooler kid in class. I wasn't the coolest. I was a cooler kid than I was before. And then I started to, that turned into me running my own events outside of school. And I started to run little raves. And then when I went to university, I figured out how to make my own dance music society at university, where I could get the university to fund us to have
Wow.
raves at the university. So there was a loophole where you could create your own society and you get a little bit of a budget, and you could also sell memberships. So I created my own social membership club.
Wow.
Like
That's
you'd have
already
the,
entrepreneurship
yeah.
at a
Oh
young
yeah.
age,
Oh yeah.
eh?
I was always a bit of a weirdo. Like you'd have the rugby society, you'd have the history society, you'd have all these societies. They're like fraternities in America. But I had my own one, the Dance Music Society. And we made a huge like scene in the during the Freshers' Fair with DJ decks, loud
Wow.
music, people going around giving out flyers for our events. And we ran some of the best parties back then at the university. And that society lasted for 14 years after I left.
Wow.
It carried on forever. Yeah, and they kept passing it down, and they already have a new president,
Wow.
a new secretary. It was amazing. It was so cool. And it was an entrepreneurial, community-based
Yes.
society. But what happened with me was, so I started running really big parties at their events at the university, but then I managed to get in my own hometown, where I started to run my own other raves, a contract to run this my own event at a super club. It was at the Matrix in Reading, and the night was called Baseheads. And for 3 years after that, I had a 2,000 people rave every month for 3 years. And then I ran a few other little things on the side. But that was it. That was what I thought I was going to be, was a DJ, producer, event promoter. And I was pretty successful at it. And it was very effortless for me. It just flowed. But at the same time, I was doing my degree. I became a pharmacist. My parents always
What was the
say,
why of becoming a pharmacist? Can I ask you that? What was the why behind
well,
that?
there was no why. It was the why was my mum's why. So my mum
That's the
always said,
problem.
you'll study hard, then you can do what you want.
Yeah.
So she was like, you have to get a degree. And in Indian kids, they either become doctors, pharmacists, lawyers, accountants,
Yes,
software
I
engineers.
see. Yes.
So you're kind of prescribed this career path. So I got into pharmacy school. I could have studied a bit harder and got to medical school, but I didn't want to be a doctor. And my uncle, who's a pharmacist, he owned loads of pharmacy chains. He said to me, look, choose pharmacy because it means you'll have more time to do what you actually want. You can work part-time, it's not as stressful, the good thing to fall back on. He encouraged me to go down the line. So I did that. But I'd never worked in a pharmacy. And here's the thing. So I was going to finish my degree and go and work full-time on my main business.
My music.
Yeah, but there was a shooting that happened at the club, and the club got shut down. And I was right in a bit of a choice point moment, because I either had to go back and leave my finals to salvage this event and find another venue and restart. My partner at the time, he lived there. He sacrificed, he was also an Indian kid, but he sacrificed not going to university for this event.
Oh, yes.
So he really went rebelled against his parents, and he went fully in, and he got a bit of resentment because I didn't just jump ship and go and save it with him.
Interesting.
That caused a lot of rift between me and him. And anyways, but then it was too late. I finished my finals. My mum was like, there's no way that you're gonna stop doing your finals. So I went and finished my finals. I thought, okay, I'll do it after that. It was too late. Also, like the lifestyle is so hedonistic.
I
There's
can
so many
imagine.
sleepless nights, there's so much drugs, alcohol,
I
sex,
know.
buying, it's wild. But I wasn't healthy.
No.
I was a broken person, to be honest. I was really not with it. I don't even know how I passed my finals. It's a miracle that I finished my degree. So I basically was a bit lost. So I ended up being a pharmacist. And then that was 7 years of absolute hell because I'd never stepped in foot in a pharmacy. And everything you learn in university, forget about it. None of that will you ever use in a pharmacy. A pharmacy, you are a glorified label sticker. All you do is you get a prescription, you get labels printed based on the prescription, you stick them on boxes. Someone counts the medication for you, puts them into the boxes. You just check there's the right amount in a box and you hand them out. And it's a conveyor belt, it's a factory. So there's no time with a patient. There's no
No,
care.
I agree.
There's no moment where you can actually
Have a connection.
even, give any advice. So it's mental. It's such a broken system and it's probably got even worse now since I've left. It really is one of the professions that needs to be robotized. You should have robots doing all that stuff. And so then the pharmacist can actually be a pharmacist, right? Right now, they're the robots, they're the machines. So I just lost it. I lost my soul. I was so depressed doing this. It was like the worst like time of my life. It was so depressing. So I had all these bad habits from my rave days. So that's what I used to escape. So every weekend I'd get completely shit-faced. I'd go partying for 4 or 5 nights in a row. And then I'd never have the energy to, because I was also an amazing, I was a pretty good music producer. Like I could have made a break in that, but I could never get around to finishing any tracks because I never had the time. Like eight,
And
nine hours a
energy.
day, you're on your feet in a busy pharmacy. Then you're going out, getting wasted. And then the moments you do have, they're just not enough. And then you never quite finish a track to the standard you need to make a break. So it was just this
Can I
vicious
ask you
cycle.
something? Can I just interrupt and ask you something? Because anyone listening now feeling that they are on that path, I just want to say, experiencing this stress of being in the wrong profession or on the wrong path, or what would you say to them today, here and now? What would you, is there a sentence, a tip, a quote, something that you could, because you've experienced it deeply, being so lost, being depressed. I believe you had also a lot of physical challenges. What would you say to them?
The main reason I lost my soul in the pharmacy is because of the business model of the pharmacy. If you're an artist, if you're a musician, you're spiritual by default. Artists are really spiritual by nature, the good ones anyway. And what happened was I just saw that this business model revolves around like people taking prescriptions for life. You never actually cure patients. If you cure patients, you lose your customers. So there's no focus on cures. Nobody gets better in the pharmacy. People go with one pill, and then a few months later, they're on another pill. And then before you know it, they're on shopping bags full of pills. That's the nature of the pharmacy. That's how they make money and
And
profit.
that's what you
So
couldn't
that
live with.
killed me. That's what killed me deep down, really.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're in a factory-like work anyway. So there was no soul in it, right?
No.
So anyway, so the symptom of that, when you start to lose your way, and most people will probably feel this as well, who've lost their way a bit, is this dread to wake up in the morning and go to work. So the real like sign of good health, in my opinion, is enthusiasm to get up, get out of bed, and go and do a hard
And
day's work.
yes,
Yeah,
survive.
that's the real sign of good health. And to be kind and compassionate to others. So if you are waking up dreading to be around people, that's
I
not a sign
agree.
of good health. So these are the things people need to think about. The moment you start to start pushing the alarm clock snooze button more than a couple of times, right, is a time the is
It's a
chronic
sign.
stress has kicked in. Chronic stress has kicked in. So you got to do something about it. So I didn't do anything about it. And what will happen is your soul will leave your body. When your soul leaves the body, you get spiritual disconnection or disturbance, and that's disease. So according to Ayurvedic system, which
Yes,
is what
I
I
agree.
subscribe to, that spiritual disconnection is the onset of disease. And usually you'll get something like autoimmune disease like I had, or some other degenerative disease will kick in. That's what happened to me. Eventually I broke down. So the way I now try and help people is to first look at the early signs, right? and build up faith in something beyond yourself to be able to jump into the unknown. Because I didn't listen to the warning signs enough. And the reason why is because of fear of the unknown, of security. What would my mum do?
We all have that.
We all have it.
We all have that. But what I want to say, Niraj, because I want to put that out to people listening today, that the universe gives you those signals for a reason. And we were talking in the beginning about the signal of the universe, you and I sitting next to each other, but that's the same. The universe gives you, whispers to you, or puts you a brick on your head to get you listening. So you weren't listening. So what was the big breakdown then? What happened?
Yeah, so I ended up, if you don't listen to your gut, you start to get pain in the gut. So after a while of getting a serious pain in the gut, I started to feel like I was shitting razor blades. And you start bleeding out the bum. Before I knew it, first the doctor prescribed, said that I had hemorrhoids, right? And gave me some cream. But then 6 months later, they were like, actually, no, you've got ulcerative colitis. And this is an autoimmune disease. It's incurable. I asked them, what about stress? What about managing stress? No. What about diet? No, forget it. Shut up and take the pills. That's all they said. So that's what I did. I surrendered to that. And it was my body copying out, copying out of this life that I created for myself. Because actually, just to rewind a bit, I actually did find a way to break free of the pharmacy system. And that was because I went to a Tony Robbins event.
Yes.
Years ago, I went to a Tony Robbins event because I was at the lowest point in my life. There was this one morning I woke up in my car, not knowing how I got there. It was a Monday morning, and I had no idea how I ended up in my car on a Monday morning.
Wow.
Who knows how I got there? Like, I was driving drunk, obviously. Crazy stuff in London. At that point, I was really depressed. My friend said to me, look, you got to go to this Tony Robbins event. I was like, what the hell is this? And anyway, so I went to it. It was amazing. The last day, the first time I heard anyone talk about diet, nutrition, lifestyle to prevent disease.
Yes.
So I was like, look, I've got a pharmacy full of sick patients. Let me put Tony Robbins to the test. So I saw the correlation between a lot of people on factory foods and prescription, number of prescriptions. Mm. So I just did a simple swap, put people on normal foods, whole foods, healthy foods, by writing shopping lists for them, healthy shopping lists. And then those who went over and bought the foods on the list got better. It was amazing. Anyway, that led to me becoming potentially the face of health of Asda in the UK, Asda, Walmart owns Asda. And they gave me this opportunity to run a in-house project to make a healthy shopping list service on their website.
Well done.
That's what I was going to do, right? And I was like, yay, I was on top of the world. And I thought I was all right, but 6 months into it, they shelved the idea. They shut it down, basically. I don't know exactly why, but it seems like the middle management had other ideas. They didn't want it to become a successful thing.
But it was a blessing for you in disguise.
It was, because actually my truth wasn't to work with a big corporation. That's not who
it.
I am.
Yeah.
But then the stress of that and the disillusionment and this like kind of anger and frustration against God, like, why would you bring me all the way here and then bring me back down again? I'd already failed with the music thing. It's like I kept feeling
again
like
and again.
God kept taking things away from me. Like, it was like a mischievous God playing tricks on me. Like, I work so hard and then it gets taken away. And I just
a lot of people feel like that, hey? Right?
Yep.
A lot of people feel
I
like
know.
That.
So and so
tell
then
us the
I had
positive.
This,
how did you turn it around? Because I want to
talk
about what you do for people today.
Yeah, so then I ended up actually housebound for almost a year, lost a third of my body weight. And I was given two choices at the end of it. Either have your colon removed or be a guinea pig for a drug, hasn't even been tested before. And there was this old, like, this lady, I'm sorry, she looked like Jabba the Hutt. She was not a good looking, like, representation of health at all. And it's a funny thing, doctors these days, they don't really represent healthcare, in my opinion. Mm. So she told me, she was the one who told me, there's no cure for this. Shut up, take the pills, basically. That's literally her words. And she's now telling me, be a guinea pig for a drug, hasn't been tested, or have my colon removed. So I didn't want to listen to that anymore. I knew deep down there had to be another way. So I had a major breakdown. And I remember I was like freaking out at home, like, Like I had these crazy flashes of lights and sweating. There was just this moment, this one night. It was the judgment day. It was like, what do I do? Anyway, the next few days later, friend of our family comes to the rescue. They say God stands for gift of desperation. But a friend of my family, Swami Yamakananda, we didn't know her that well yet. She became a very good friend afterwards. But she was a yoga teacher, and she said to me, look, you actually have a gift. You can turn this around. You could be an amazing role model to other people. And your tenacity and wanting to help people, it could give you a new lease, a new career, something that you're proud of. So she said, this is a gift here. This is like a divine intervention. And so I'm scientifically educated, and our generation of Indians in the UK, we've been educated out of our culture in India. And actually, so is most Indians growing up in India. They look at yoga and meditation as a bit woo, not scientific. It's a bit more accepted now, but back then, we're talking 20
I
years ago,
agree.
nobody took it that seriously, especially for healing rare diseases like autoimmune
True.
diseases like I had. So I had to let go of that disbelief. And anyway, so she said to me, look, I'll give you some basic training. And she taught me these breathing techniques first from pranayama. Pranayama is the branch of yoga
Yes.
that is very important. It's like one of the first things you learn. And I had so much relief from the first few breaths that she taught me. It was just a game changer. So that took me down a major rabbit hole of learning as much as I possibly could about pranayama, about yoga, about meditation, about Ayurveda. And I just went on a major research, and
Yes.
she taught me more techniques, different breathing techniques. And then I changed my lifestyle, the diet I was eating, completely switched it, went to a more grounding, nourishing diet, really changed the game, like more of a paleo diet rather than fully veggie diet. There's a lot of like dogma in diet as well, actually. I don't think people should obsess too much about diet, actually. I think if you get your breathing under control and you do the right kind of physical exercise and have the right mindset, you can eat what you want. Like as long as it's healthy, like real food, doesn't matter if you're vegetarian or vegan or
I agree.
carnivore or whatever, you can thrive on most foods as long as you like how it tastes. But I made a switch at the time because, and this is really important, anyone suffering from ulcerative colitis, there are certain carbohydrates in plants that are known triggers for the colon. And there's a diet called specific carbohydrate diet. And the paleo diet is very close to that, it's very similar. And I went on a very beef-based paleo diet, which was very contradictory to the religion of
Most,
Hinduism that I was brought up in. I never ate beef, but I switched to bone broth, beef.
Oh,
And
wow.
I discovered this supplement called colostrum, which changed everything for me. And I realized that colostrum is a medicine that's been in Ayurveda for 1,000 years, and it's the first milk from a cow, bovine colostrum. The first milking within the first 6 hours is the best. And that's what gives you your immune system in the gut. It passes down the immunity from the mother to the
Yes, I
child.
agree to do.
If you're not breastfed enough, you often are deficient in these gut microbiome that you need for good health. So I had gut health issues when I was a kid as well. I had all of this stuff, but it really got triggered from all the stress of the career. So the colostrum is an amazing gut healer. It helps you to
I
minimize the
know.
symptoms of colitis. It's a great tip. And stripping away the specific carbohydrates that cause allergies in the gut. So I did all that, but the main thing that really worked was a modality that I ended up then developing that becomes the core thing we teach in Soma Breath. And that is a sequence of rhythmic breathing followed by breath retention techniques and guided visualization, all done to music.
All
And
together,
the idea,
all combined.
it's a combination. And the idea is what you do is you're making peace. Through the use of guided visualization techniques, you're making peace with the past, with the present, and the future. And you're creating a state of acceptance and gratitude as a default, because we can't change what happens on the outside world, right? We have very little control over that. All we can control is what goes on inside. So what with breath work, with Soma Breath, what we've tried to develop is methods to give people the control of the inner world, the autonomic nervous system. And breath is the bridge between the body, the soma, and the mind, the psyche. So this is what we teach people, and this modality for reprogramming the imprints, the thoughts, the hardwired programs that have created your state of your sense of self identity. And autoimmune disease is like this. Autoimmune disease is the result of cells becoming confused, their consciousness. So in the evolution of life, we all started as single cell organisms. And those cells came together based on, eventually, because they got tired of fighting with each other, based on trust, love, compassion, they formed multicellular organisms. And that became eventually animals and then life, right? And humans. So we, our cells are built together on symbiotic relationship. And we also have gut microbiome, actually more gut microbiome than we have human cells, that are all working in harmony with our human cells. So we're all living consciousness of different cells, all live in harmony. Now, when you get this, when you feel like you hate your life rather than I love my life, if that's your main kind of mindset,
energy, yeah.
I hate, and if you have a lot of hate of the past, hatred of people, you stop loving your body, which is what often happens as a result of that, and you lose your love for life, that enthusiasm to get up, the cells get confused, consciousness gets confused. And that means then the healthy cells get attacked by your immune system. That's autoimmune disease. So in order to bring that harmony and balance back, breath work is one of the best tools for restoring that harmony and balance.
Niraj, I'm going to have a little break now, but I want you to come back with me just now after this little advertising break, because I just want to finish with you this. I think it's so important that people know exactly how you put that all into practice today. So just anyone listening, just hold on and just come back just now. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you.
back to every single one of you, and I cannot wait to hear the la suite de l'histoire. So I just want to ask Neeraj, just to finish off this episode. It is so interesting. So how did you put all of this together, and where can we find you today? And do this somewhere in practice. So maybe give a few practical things as well and tell people where we can find you.
Yeah, for sure. So as a pharmacist, I wanted to make something that can be like an alternative or complementary to the pharmaceutical system. So what I found is that the breath works almost as quickly and as effectively as medicines do for many different situations, right? So if you think about all the things you go to a pharmacy for normally, like unblocking your nose, decongestions, laxative for constipation, pain relievers, right, for pain relief, letting go of stress, tension, sleeping better, so on and so forth. There's a pill for almost every ill, right? Okay, but unfortunately, there's an ill following every pill as
yes,
well,
I agree.
Right? Yeah. So the thing with the breath is it's more under your control and you don't get the side effects. But there are pranayama techniques for almost any of those situations, right? You can actually unblock your nose with breathing techniques. You can go to the toilet if you've got constipation. You can go to sleep faster. Get more energy,
but I want to say
focus.
Something because you have combined it all in such a, I've had breathwork people, you know, quite a bit here on the show, but what I really, really find so remarkable is like how you have combined it all. Why did you combine those things?
Yeah, so on we have a Soma Breath app. So we have all the pranayama, all the best pranayama techniques for that are alternatives to these pills you'll find on the app. But then we have these breath sessions, which is the sequence of breathing techniques with music and guided visualization.
Yes.
And this, what it does is it delivers, we have like the more basic version, we also have an advanced version, but the basic version, what it delivers, I call it a daily dose.
Yes.
It delivers a dose of intermittent hypoxia. And intermittent hypoxia is a lower than normal oxygen state that you produce by holding your breath for a certain length of time. And when you can hold your breath for around 60 to 90 seconds after an exhale, right, magic starts to happen in your body. Like what they found, right, that most diseases are the result of mitochondrial dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So when your mitochondria is how you produce energy, life force, right? Now, when mitochondria are constantly fed oxygen and fuel, food, all the time, they end up getting fat and lazy and die, right? So that's what happens as we age. And most people are just feeding it constantly oxygen and fuel, right? But what they realize is that when you take away the fuel for a bit and give it back, take away for a bit and give it back, i.e. intermittent fasting, which we all know about, it produces amazing health benefits. But intermittent hypoxia is taking away oxygen for a bit, giving it back, taking away for a bit, giving it back. And when you do that, the mitochondria start to multiply in number. You go from 1,000 to 4,000 every cell. You become like a finely tuned like machine, right? Really efficient engine, and your whole function of all your organs just improves.
Wow.
And also what happens is you wake up stem cells out of circulation. So stem cells don't like oxygen. So when you do a brief bit period of low oxygen, stem cells come out to play and they go to areas of the body that need healing, right?
Okay.
So this whole modality, it focuses on rhythmic breathing, and rhythmic breathing is key to what we do as well.
Yes.
Music helps time the rhythm, the groove. Now, why that's important is because we all have biorhythms in our body. Every function in your body has biorhythms, and they go out of balance when you are stressed, right? But what they found was just a few minutes of rhythmic breathing a day restores balance, because every function in your body is subservient to the rhythm of the breath. That's why in yoga, rhythmic breathing is the foundation.
Yes.
So we do rhythmic breathing followed by breath holds that gives you this dose of intermittent hypoxia, right? And we use an extra layer of guided visualization, meditation over top.
I found that quite amazing. So I just want to, because we need to finish up, but I just want to say, so the combination of the breathing techniques and the visualization and the music, is there a fourth one No,
That's the main, that's it. It's the three components.
And that's what people find on your app. Can you just explain how they can find you on the app? And so we can finish.
Yeah. So on the app, if you go to somabreath.com/go, you can download the app. And we have like special offers and things on there. And there you'll find there's a whole breath pharma section with lots of different breathing techniques with different uses. And the breath sessions. And the breath sessions have different themes. So some are for sleep, some are for energy, some are for manifesting what you
oh,
want.
Great.
You know, so there's a whole series of different themes which you can customize with these visualization techniques.
Okay. I just want to say thank you, Niraj. I really appreciate this whole explanation because I think we need that in our society, you know, that kind of approach and that kind of system that actually people can do it themselves as well, which is so, so amazing. So thank you for this. And I will talk to any one of you later on. If you want to listen again to this show, you can download it. You can listen on demand. So please go and check out Niraj's app. I will put it on the website. And so we'll talk later. Bye-bye for now. See you next time. Thank you so much, Niraj.
Thank you.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.